All right, I just want to take a couple minutes and remind you about the message this morning. Talked about priorities. We all have priorities in our life, and those priorities order our life. And I mentioned at the beginning that we ought to let God set the priorities in our life. He knows more about what we need than we do. And so Jesus had priorities. We looked at some of those this morning. And teaches that we ought to have priorities. And that verse we read is one of the first priorities that every single person ought to have in their life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we don't get His righteousness by the righteous things that we do. The book of Isaiah says all the righteousnesses of that we have are as filthy rags in God's sight. We get the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ and what He did for us on Calvary. And so if you're here tonight, don't worry about the kingdom of God yet. What you need to worry about if you're not saved is getting the righteousness of God. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty. He paid what you owed. And if you'll ask Him, He'll save you. He'll dress you in the righteousness of God, help you stand before God justified, just as if you've never sinned in the sight of God because Jesus paid for all of them. Now, Satan's always going to contradict what God says. Anything God says, Satan's going to say just the opposite. And when God gives us that priority to seek His righteousness and then His kingdom, which means we let Him rule in our life. We let Him be the king. We let Him reign in our life. We let Him be the boss in our life. Satan's going to say, no, you need to go after what you want. You need to go after what you desire. Don't worry about what God wants. You set your own priorities. Satan's a liar. He doesn't want what's good for us. Satan, God wants what good for us. Satan wants what's bad for us. And if he's lost your soul, in other words, if you're on your way to heaven, he's going to do everything that he can to mess up your life. And he's going to do that by trying to get you to ignore the priorities that God gives you and go after the priorities that he wants you to have. And then I ended this morning by just giving you four principles to help set your priorities. And again, I just want to mention them briefly tonight by way of introduction. You see, priorities are about making choices. We make priorities by making a choice to make something more important than something else. We make the choice to spend time on this thing as opposed to some other thing. We make the choice to devote our resources to this thing as opposed to this other thing. And so setting priorities is all about making choices. As we make choices, we always ought to pick the spiritual over the carnal. In other words, when we make a choice, we ought to pick the things of God as opposed to the things of the world. The things of God satisfy. The things of the world never satisfy. Yeah, sin is pleasurable for a season, the Bible says. But sin, when it is finished, leadeth to death. And so again, as we make those choices, as we set our priorities, always pick the things of God over the things of the world. Always pick the eternal over the temporary. Sometimes we're tempted to say, well, I can do this right now. I can make this happen right now. But it doesn't last. And again, as you make the choices, always, again, devote your energy, devote your time, devote your loyalty to something that's going to last forever as opposed to something that's going to pass away. That's only going to last a little bit. Always, as you make the choices, always pick God's will over your will. Always pick what God wants you to do as opposed to what you might want to do. Again, God knows better than we do. Any one of us, He knows better than we do what we need. And His will for us is perfect. His will for us, look, He's the one that made us. He's the one that has our life planned out. Now, again, we're not robots. We have free choice. But God, He'll make His will known to us if we'll seek it. And if we follow it, we'll be what God wants us to be. And what a better place to be than in the center of God's will, being what God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. So always pick his will over your will. And then always pick commitment over convenience. Don't pick something just because it's convenient. Don't pick something just because it's easy. Pick something that you commit yourself to and be committed to that thing. Again, those general principles, as you're making choices to set priorities, use those principles to make the choices. Now, tonight, I'm going to give you, I have six of them tonight. I'm going to give you six priorities that we all ought to have in our life. Now, before I start, I want to mention that the priorities that we pick in our life ought to be guided by the two great commandments that Jesus gave us. As we make choices in our life, as we set priorities in our life, we ought to be guided by the first commandment, which says, love God with all that we are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The greatest commandment. And then Jesus said, the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, if you do those two things, if you follow those two commandments, all the rest of them will fall into place. And just stop and think about it. If I love God with everything that I am, if I love God with all my heart, mind, and soul and spirit, then, you know, having no other gods before him is going to fall into place. Not using his name is going to fall into place. Not erecting idols and worshiping anything before him is going to fall into place. Remember the Sabbath day or Sunday in our case is going to fall into place. If I love God with all that I am, I'm not going to have any problem keeping the first four commandments. And then if I love others as myself, the other six, and that's what Jesus meant, the other six are going to take care of themselves as well. If I love my neighbor, I'm going to honor my father and my mother. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to kill. I'm not going to covet. And I'm missing one, so you fill in the blank, you that are ahead of me. But all those are going to fall into place. So the choices we make as we set the priorities in our life ought to be guided by those two great commandments. So here we go. I want to again just give you six suggestions as to what we ought to make a priority in our life. And when I get done, you're going to say, preacher, that was a simple message. I'm a simple preacher. I always tell people I try to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. I know some of you might like a deeper preacher, but I would submit to you that simplicity is the deepest kind of preaching you can get. And so you're going to say, this is a simple message. You're going to say, we've heard all this before. And I would agree with you. Everything I'm going to say before, everything I'm going to say tonight, I have said before in some form or another. But I don't apologize for repetition. The world keeps beating things into your head. I mean, they'll get a little jingle, they'll get a little saying, and they'll beat it into your head and beat it into your head and beat it into your head. What's wrong with beating the things of God into our heads? What's wrong with repeating the things of God? I mean, the things that we need to set as our priorities are things that we learned as a child that we need to practice all the days of our life. So here we go. Number one, make Bible reading and study a priority. Make Bible reading and study a priority. Look, you have to make a choice. There's only 24 hours in a day, and all of us have busy lives. You have to make the choice to set aside some time during the day to open this book, to read this book, to study this book, to meditate on this book, to memorize this book. And unless you put that time in your schedule, I guarantee you Satan will get you so busy that you won't have time to read your Bible. I guarantee it. I know it's happened to me. Unless I put it in my schedule, unless I devote some specific time that I'm going to read my Bible, I won't do it. And I dare say the same is true about all of you. We teach that verse from 2 Timothy to the little kids in Awana. I think it's a verse that all of us need to comprehend and to follow. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have the word of truth in the book. We have what God wants us to know in this book. How do you love God? Again, going back to the greatest commandment. How do you love God? You spend time with Him. The more time you spend with God, the more time you'll love Him. And how do we spend time with God? We spend time in the record that He has left us that tells us about Himself. The last book in the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ, but this whole book is the revelation of God. This is how we find out about God. This is where how we find out that God loves us. This is how we find out that God takes care of us. This is how we find out that God sustains us. This is how we find out everything about God. It's from this book. Make it a priority to read this book, to study this book. There's wonderful promises in this book, throughout this book. There's thousands of promises that God has made to us. We need to know what they are. We need to claim them. So make it a priority to read and study the Bible. Number two, make it a priority to pray. Amen. To pray. Again, How do we fall more in love with God? How do we love God with everything we have? We let Him talk to us, and we talk to Him. Amen. We talk to Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Amen. Pray without ceasing. You know, on some of the programs that I use on my computer, they ask me the question, do you want to say, stay signed on? I sign into a website, and they give me a choice. Do you want to stay signed on? What that means is that for 24 hours a day, I can stay signed on to that website so that when I go back, I don't have to sign on again. I don't have to put my password and my logon ID or anything like that. I can stay signed on to that website. We ought to stay signed on to God. We ought to have a prayerful attitude 24/7. And you know, we start our prayer, Heavenly Father, well, we've signed in already. I mean, we ought to be able 24/7 to just say, God, let me just pick up the conversation where I left off. I know you haven't stopped listening. I've quit talking, but I know you haven't stopped listening. I want to talk to you about something else. I want your advice on something else. I want your counsel on something else. We need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to set time to pray. You need to make a decision. You need to make a choice. I'm going to devote some time to prayer. We sang that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. It'd be a wonderful thing if we spent an hour in prayer every day. It'd be a wonderful thing if we prayed without ceasing. It'd be a wonderful thing if we had a prayerful attitude every moment of every day. It would be a wonderful thing if we realized, and I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit in just a minute, but if we realized the Holy Spirit is with us 24/7 and we can talk to Him anytime that we want to. The Bible says He never slumbers or sleeps. I mean, He's available to us 24/7, and we ought to take advantage of that. There's never a time when the Holy Spirit is not listening. There's never a time when God is not listening. There's never a time when the Holy Spirit won't help us voice the prayer to God that we need to voice. And so, make a choice. Devote some time every day to prayer. Make prayer a priority. Number three, make fellowshipping with God's people a priority. Make coming to church a priority. I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I had a person leave this morning and said, I don't think you should get on people for not coming to Sunday school. I said, if I don't make you feel uncomfortable sometime, and I told Brother Wayne, he told me the same thing, but this was somebody before Brother Wayne came through. If I don't step on your toes sometime, I'm not doing my job. Yeah. If you don't get mad at me sometime, I'm not doing my job. None of us have arrived yet. We have to all say like Paul, I have not obtained yet. I'm still pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And if I thought you all had arrived, I'd resign. But I know none of us have arrived. Sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody, but none of you have gotten there yet. You're still pressing toward that mark and for the prize of the high calling. And one of the ways that we can help each other get to that point is to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day of the Lord's getting close. We need to exhort one another. We need to provoke one another. Going up a verse in that chapter. We need to provoke one another unto love and good works. Because Jesus is coming back soon. The time that we have to work for him is short. And so we need to make it a priority. We need to set aside the time. And I'm just going to say it, to come to Sunday school, to come to church on Sunday morning, to come to church on Sunday night, and to come to church on Wednesday night. You say, preacher, I don't need that much church. How do you know? How do you know? If you just come on Sunday morning and Sunday night, how do you know you're not going to get something else out of Sunday school? How do you know you're not going to get something else out of Wednesday night? Do you think God is incapable of doing something for you during Sunday school? Do you think God's incapable of doing something for you on Wednesday night? I don't. I think God's capable of giving us, every one of us, something that we need every time we come into this place. His supply is inexhaustible, and what we need, he can provide, and he may choose to do it during Sunday school or on a Wednesday night, and if you're not here, you're going to miss what God has for you. So make it a priority to come and fellowship with God's people. Number four, make it a priority to share the gospel. To share the gospel. Jesus commissioned his disciples in the book of Mark. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a command. It's the way God has chosen to get the gospel out. He could have chosen many other ways. He could have written it in the sky. He could have used, he had Balaam's donkey talk to him. I mean, he could have chosen any other way to get the gospel out. But he chose us. He picked us as Christians to be his ambassadors. And we are commanded to share the gospel with other people. We won't do it unless we make time for it. We won't do it unless we make the choice to be ready to do it. Carry some tracts. Put them in your pocket. Put them in your purse. Always be ready to pass out a tract. Always be ready to tell somebody how you got saved. That's the best way to witness. Yeah, I believe in the Romans Road. I believe you ought to memorize John 3:10, John 3:23, John 5:8, and Romans 10. Well, I never mind. You ought to memorize the Romans Road. But the most effective way to witness to somebody else is to say, let me tell you what happened to me. I was a sinner. I was headed for hell. But God loved me in spite of my sin. And he sent his son to die in my place on Calvary's cross. On the cross, God put on Jesus every one of my sins, and he paid the price that I owed. And because he paid the price that I owe, God was able to offer me a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the gift that God offered to me. I took it. When I was 16 years old, I took it. And my life has never been the same. Amen. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a child of God. God is my Father. And that's the best way to tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them what happened to you. So we need to make it a priority. Make sharing the gospel a priority. Number five, make giving a priority. Just decide that you're going to give to God the tithe and the offering. Just decide that you're going to be obedient to what God says to do. Now, I'll be honest with you. You are such a giving church. I don't talk about giving very much. If you've been around very long, you know it's the exception rather than the rule that I even mention giving in my sermons. But, I would be remiss if I did not remind you every now and then that God expects us to be cheerful givers. That God has said in Luke chapter 6, 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Great measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same manner that ye meet, shall it be meted unto you." God has blessed this church financially. You cannot look at our finances and not see the hand of God in it. And you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because you are a giving people. A giving people. Every dollar that we give to missions, every dollar that we give to help somebody else, God in heaven says, "Hey, I like that. I like that. That pleases me. I'm going to give them some more. I'm going to give them some more." And as long as they use it in the way that I want them to use it. And by the way, we talked about it at our board meeting last night. We're going to bring a mission proposal to you next week that involves spending some more money on a monthly basis with for missions. The organization that we sent money to last week for the wells and the shoes, we want to take on as a monthly missionary project. And I think God will be pleased. And I think He'll look down and say, "Hey, that church down there is doing their best to share the gospel with the world. I'm going to bless them." And picture just what that verse says. Picture a basket where God pours out His blessing and then He shakes the basket to make it all go down to the bottom so He could fill it up more. And then He presses it down so that He can get more. And then He puts so much in it that it overflows. Amen. I learned a long time ago that you can't outgive God. But you know what? It sure is fun to try. It sure is fun to try to say, "God, I'm going to outgive you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to outgive you." And you give and give and give and give, and you get to the end of the day and you say, "I can't outgive God. Can't outgive Him." Make giving a priority. And then number six, make being filled with the Spirit a priority. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We get all the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Every bit of them. The question is, how much did He get of us? He never moves into any area of our life unless we invite Him. He never moves into any area of our being unless we open the door and ask Him to come in. There's enough of Him to fill every part of our being. Enough of the Holy Spirit to fill every part of our life. And Paul wrote there in the book of Ephesians, you need to be filled. We have to make the choice. We have to decide, hey, there's no area of my life that I'm not going to let the Holy Spirit in. There's no area of my life that I'm not going to let the Holy Spirit move in and take control and take charge. That verse says we ought to sing. We ought to rejoice. We ought to praise God. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be excited, like Betty was testifying a moment ago. When we get to thinking about what Jesus did for us, when we get to thinking about what the Holy Spirit offers us, when we get to thinking about how God is our Father and we're a member of His family, and that Jesus is working on a place for us in heaven, we ought to get excited. Amen. We ought to burst into praise. We ought to sing. Say, preacher, I don't have a good voice. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God, it doesn't matter if you have a good voice or a bad voice. Most of the time I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I like to sing. I like to praise God. So, stop whining. Praise God. Grumble no more. Praise God. Don't renew your license to complain. Praise God. Be filled with the Spirit. Make that a priority. Again, I'm sure there's others, and I'm sure you'll say, that was pretty simple, preacher. I know it. I don't claim that it's deep or anything like that, but I guarantee you, if you do these six things in your life, you'll be pleasing to God. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want to please Him? I mean, my prayer, I pray it every day. I pray it for each one of you. I pray when you get to heaven and you see Jesus, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. Well done. Let's decide that we're going to let God set the priorities in our life. He knows more what we need than we do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that's in it. And I pray tonight that we would examine the priorities that we have in our life. And if we haven't made time for our Bibles, if we haven't made time for prayer, if we haven't made time for church, if we haven't made time for sharing the gospel, if we haven't made time for giving, and if we haven't made time and yielded ourselves to the Holy Spirit, I pray tonight you'd help us to examine what's filling up our life that leaves us no time to do these things. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us reorder our priorities, that we would make time for all of them. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray tonight, if there is somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that you would help them see their sin. We're all sinners. I pray you would help them see what Jesus paid for their sin on Calvary. And Father, I pray you'd help them tonight to decide to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And if we need to do something, help us to do it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.